We're doing the Nevi Yeshayah. We're up to what they call the 12th chapter, the 4th Pasuk. The Nevi had been describing the time of the great salvation. He had described that we will recognize that Hashem is the source of our salvation. We will have no fear. We will know that our strength and our song goes up to Hashem, that He is our salvation. And now the Nevi continues and says, what?
Yes.
Excuse me, where are you reading from now?
What's called the 12th chapter, the 4th Pasuk. V'amarteim b'yom ha'u. And you will say to one another on that day, Hodu l'Adonai kiru v'shmo. Hodiu v'amim alilotav. Give thanks to Hashem. Call out in His name. Let the nations know Hashem's miracles. Hazkiru kinisgav shemo. Make mention, let people recognize the praise of Hashem. Let people recognize how strong is His name. How unique is His name. How singular is His name. Kinisgav shemo. His name is so powerful. So this is a concept we find in many places in the prophets. And this is the concept of Pirsume Nisa, making the miracles of Hashem known to the nations. We say it in Shir HaMalos. As Yomru Vagoyim, the nations will recognize, Higdil Hashem Nasot Imela, look at what great things Hashem has done on behalf of these people. So part of the salvation of Israel is to shine onto the nations so they will recognize, wow, look at what Hashem does on behalf of these people. How?
What's your question?
I think that if we internally will recognize Hashem's hand in our salvation, so then it will permeate, it will shine outwardly. Zameru Adonai ki geyut asa. Muda'at zot b'chol ha'aretz. Zameru, give song to Hashem. Ki ge'ut asa, because what He's done is source for pride. Muda'at zot b'chol ha'aretz. And that pride is going to become famous throughout the land when everyone sees that what Hashem has done on our behalf is exceptional. Tzahali varoni yoshevet Zion. The Navi turns to the people of Israel who live in Zion, yoshevet Zion, and says to them, Tzahali varoni, raise your voice. Tzahali is like neighing. The neighing of a horse is when he raises the pitch. He yells out, Tzahali varoni, raise your voice and give song. You who sits in Zion, Ki gadol bekirbech kedosh Yisrael. Because the Holy One of Israel is so great in your midst. Look at what great things He's done on your behalf, and through you God has made His name great. Ki gadol bekirbech. That through being in your midst, Hashem has become great in the eyes of the nation. So you, Israel, who lives in Zion, you should call forth in your song. And with that, the Navi concludes his prophecy of the salvation of Israel. Now the Navi turns to speak about the destruction of Babylon. It's very interesting. We've yet to be defeated by Babylon. The Navi is talking about a salvation that's far off in the future. At this point, we're still living the golden era in Israel. And he says, it's going to pass. There'll be a destruction. We saw that in his first prophecy. And then he comes back and says, but there's greatness waiting for you. Through you, God will be recognized as great. Now the Navi turns to the Babylonian Empire that's yet to defeat us and says, well, after they defeat you, they too will be defeated. Let me speak about the Babylonian Empire. And the Navi begins with that famous word, Masa. And the word Masa is a term for prophecy. One of the introductory terms for prophecy is Masa. We know there are 10 terms for prophecy. Chazon, Nevu'ah, Masa. One of the terms is Masa. Why is the term Masa used? So the simple understanding is because the prophecy is taken up by a person's speech. So it's as though he lifts his voice to say this prophecy. Another possible interpretation is that the prophet gets elevated to say this prophecy. The Malbim says that any prophecy that begins with the word Masa is different from other prophecies in its poetic form. The word Masa is introductory to a prophecy that's going to have much poetry in it, much metaphors in it. So that's why we use the term Masa. And the Targum learns that the word Masa introduces a prophecy of destruction. That the word Masa is as though they're lifting a cup of poison to the nation. Masa is as though to lift the cup that has poison that will bring down that nation. Masa Bavel Asher Chaza Yeshayahu Ben Amoz. The following prophecy, Yeshayahu Ben Amoz, saw prophesied over Babylon. Al Nishpes Unes. Over a high mountain, raise the banner. Harimu kol lahem. And call out loudly from that high mountain. Who are we calling? We're calling the Persian Mede Empire to come and take down the Babylonian Empire. So the Navi says, you're going to call in the armies, the troops of Persia and Mede. Well, call them from a high mountain. Al ha'nishpeh, on a high mountain, se'unes, raise the banner, raise the flag. Harimu kol lahem, raise your voice as you call them. Hani fuyad, wave your hand, calling them in. Ve'yavohu pitchei nedivim, and they will come into the entrances of the volunteers. He's speaking about the Babylonian Empire that volunteered to come forth and destroy us. Another understanding is that the word Nedivim means philanthropists. That the Babylonian Empire were called philanthropists because they were very wealthy. Ani tziveti limkud ashai. God says, I commanded this nation that was set aside, that was designated to come and destroy Babylon. Don't think it's just the waning and waxing of the empire. No, I commanded this nation to come forth. I orchestrated history so that the Persian Mede Empire would enter and attack the Babylonian Empire. Gam karati giborai lapi. I called these brave warriors, Hashem calls them my brave warriors, Le'api, to do my anger against the Babylonian Empire. Alize gavati. I want them to be happy with my pride as they take down the Babylonian Empire. Now this is a pretty unique prophecy. A non-Jewish empire is called Mekudashai, my designated ones. So Chazal have an interpretation in this pasuk. But I want to offer a simple understanding of this pasuk. The Persian Mede Empire was unique in many fronts. They're the only empire that has a king that God calls my Mashiach. Right? Koresh is called Mishichi, my Mashiach, my anointed one. They are the only empire that voluntarily tells the Jewish people, return to Israel, build your temple, we will fund it. And historically, I'm unaware of a source in Chazal for this, but the history books write that when the Persian Mede Empire overtook the Babylonian Empire, they made a decree emancipating all the slaves. The Jews were freed from slavery under the Persian Mede law. So this they found archaeologically. I'm unaware, again, of a source in Chazal that addresses this. So, using this background knowledge, it seems natural that the Navi speaks of the Persian Mede Empire in positive terms. They were very unique. The Talmud even discusses how do we view them after all the good they did on our behalf. So the Talmud says, but their good was tainted. You should know that they had self-interest in their actions. And don't forget, it was under the Persian Mede Empire that Haman made his infamous decree. So it's not like they were complete tzaddikim. You see, there was tremendous anti-Semitism there. They were ready to kill us.
That also left to Korah.
I don't think so.
Xerxes was much worse.
Okay.
Wasn't he?
I think that if you learn Daniel and Zechariah with Rashi, you realize that Koresh was a term like Ahasuerus, like Pharaoh, like Avimelech, and you have many kings.
I'm saying that they equate him with Cyrus. First of all, it's cognate to the name Cyrus. Cyrus, Koresh, quite similar.
But there was more than one. What Rashi points out, and what the Gemara actually says in Rosh Hashanah, and what it says in Yosifun, is that the kings, many kings, had the name Koresh, Daryavesh, and Ahasuerus.
I'm sure that it's very common among everyone. But what I'm saying, at least from, it seems that Koresh was Cyrus the Great, as he's known in secular circles, and Ahasuerus was Xerxes.
Right, we say it was a different person also.
Right, so I'm saying, couldn't it be reflective of the different leadership under which the Persians...
Fine, we also say that. But even about Koresh, we have a few pointers. Chazal say he built the temple in a way that he could always burn it down. He insisted on laying foundations of wood to ensure that if they ever rebel, he could burn it down. Chazal say many things. If you look closely at the verses, so Chazal say it's not as good as you think it is. Meaning it's positive, but it could have and should have been better. That there's also a discussion that Koresh was Jewish. He was the daughter of Esther. He was the son of Esther. So that's a separate discussion. Yeah?
Do you think it's unrealistic to expect any nation, whether, all of Persian history, is it all... Koresh, it's also Ahmadinejad and everything in between. All of Jewish history is in Shlomo HaMelech. It's also, Manasseh, bad times. So, and self-interest, any empire, has self-interest. It's a question of how they do it. So, I thought that's a bit, it'd be a bit, okay, there is something different with the nation that says, for whatever reason, build the temple, come back, we'll fund it. To our shame, we didn't go enough, but that's a different thing. And the idea also was a little disturbing. Babel was rich, and we call it philanthropy. That's a high level. A lot of rich people we don't call philanthropists. That usually implies you use your money for good works. And I don't recall, I certainly don't know much about it. Babel is particularly known for its good works. Anyway,
yeah. That needs work. Why they were called Nedivim. Right.
The idea that you're saying that we do badly for having self-interest, aren't we told that we should take care of ourselves and then take care of others?
Yeah.
So doing that, they had their own self-interest, but then they were also taking care of the other people.
Okay.
Why are we looking down on that if that's going to come?
Maybe because the prophet foretold him that he has a mission in this world, and he chose to do half a job. We'll see later on in the prophet that long before Koresh was born, the Navi speaks about what his job's going to be. But Chazal gives us a deeper understanding as to what Mekudashai is. Yes?
Prophet of another people prophecies about you, is that necessarily... that a normal person would take that to heart or know about it?
So let me ask you, how come Ahasuerus, Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, Haman, how come everyone took into account what Jeremiah said? They were all looking to figure out the 70 years. So that means they recognized there was a truth here that was very different than all the other sorcerers they had encountered. Remember, they do appoint Daniel as the top advisor to the king. They do try to calculate when the 70 years are going to be up. They all come and work off of Nebuchadnezzar's dream and Daniel's interpretation. So that means the world had accepted that there was a truth in the prophets of Israel. Don't forget, Nebuchadnezzar publishes a public letter in which he says, anyone who speaks badly about Judaism or the Jews is going to be killed by me. meaning Nebuchadnezzar himself comes to a realization, hey, there's truth going on here. Belshazzar comes to that realization. Don't forget, the Persian Mede Empire comes to power on a night when Daniel tells the Babylonian Empire, you're losing. You've lost it tonight. And Daniel's right. Everyone knows the miracle of the handwriting on the wall. So it's not like this story is happening in the vacuum. They all recognized there was truth to the Judean prophets. There was truth to what Jeremiah said. There was truth to what Yeshaya said. And so there's a certain expectation, live up to it. And you see that on some level Koresh does. Just not on the level he could have.
How does a person be evil? Like, I can understand, okay, they're, you know, like, you can accept that God exists and still, you know, be lustful or whatever. But like, sound like evil of sorts and like murderous and...
Who are you talking about? So that's a question for Thursday night. That's already not on topic. Okay, Thursday night. Chazal tell us, Ani tziveti limkuda shai. Chazal say that's the Persian Empire that is designated for perdition. Chazal took the word mekudashai and told us, don't think it's a positive. Even though we think the word mekudashai ordinarily comes from the word kedusha, designated, but remember that a woman of ill repute is also called a kedesha because she's designated for something of ill repute. And so Chazal took this pasuk and said, don't think Mikudashai is positive. God is not calling the Persians holy. What God is saying is they're designated for perdition. They're still going to have their day of reckoning.